الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولنعلمن الكاذبين فقال تبارك وتعالى أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين The Rasul recite Durood Sharif اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد Respected elders and dear brothers, the world that we live in is a place of difficulty and hardship, and every individual that comes in this world will have a share of difficulty and hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ We have created insan and man in hardship. This is the nature of this world. Therefore, in this world, we will go through difficulties individually, collectively, in our own personal self, in our family, in our community, then in our country, then around the world. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world, that it is a place of difficulty and hardship. We look at individually, there will be people who will undergo illness, sickness, some kind of pain, some bodily problem you could have, deformities, we could have disabilities, a person could have some kind of rare disease, sickness. All these are part and parcel of the system of the creation of this world. We could have difficulties financially, people are struggling to make ends meet, they are battling to keep their head above the water, people are drowning in debts, people are having a difficulty just to make ends meet. So there is that side of the hardship and difficulty. There could be problems in homes, in families, misery, heartache, and all kinds of social problems. We find that there could be problems within the circle of the family. Children are gone astray. Gone into drugs, gone into all kind of bad habits, bad ways, etc. So these are the type of difficulties that we will find in this world. Then on a level of a country where we could have crime, hijacking, kidnapping, and all corruption and discrimination and all these type of problems. And then on the international level, we have wars that have been fought, we have all kinds of problems, we see the genocide, the massacre of our oppressed brothers, sisters and children in Gaza, in Palestine, and the imposed famine upon them, that hundreds are dying of starvation because they will not allow the food to go in, and thousands are being massacred on a daily basis. So many people are being, and there are missiles and bombs raining down upon them. It is too horrendous to describe. But the reality is, all this is part and parcel of the creation of this world. That in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that there will be difficulty and hardship. Especially for the people of Iman, they will be tested more than everyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah walamma ya'tikum mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum massatuhum al-ba'sa'u wad-dharra'u wazulzilu hatta yaqula ar-rasulu walladhina amanu ma'ahu mata nasrullah ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the conditions of the nations of the past, the believers of the past, with the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. What trials they went through, what difficulties, challenges they went through, to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you think that your entry into Jannah is going to be easy, and that it will just, easy path through the life of this world, without being tried and tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, it is not like that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the nations of the past. مَسَّتُمُ الْبَأْسَىٰ وَالضَّرَّىٰ وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were tried in many, many ways with different challenges and different difficulties and hardships. They were shaken to the core. Allah uses the word زُلْزِلُوا. Zilzal is earthquake. They were shaken like how people are shaken when an earthquake takes place. And hatta yaqula ar-rasul, even the rasul of that time was calling out, and the people, mata nasrullah, oh Allah, when your help will come, oh Allah, when your help will come. We are in that condition today as the ummah, that the ummah collectively should be saying these words, mata nasrullah, oh Allah, when is your help going to come, oh Allah, when is your help going to come. But then immediately after that, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the glad tidings, Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Listen carefully. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb. It is very close by. Elsewhere we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, Alif Lam Mim, Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Do the people think that they will say, Amanna, we believe, wahum la yuftanun, and they will not be tried and tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. It is not possible that we say, Amanna, and then there will be no test and trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is going to test us. That is the test of our iman. That is the test of our iman. That are we going to sell our iman for the benefits or small gains of this world, or are we going to be patient and sacrifice for the gains of the akhirah? This is the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put us through the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned so many other places in the Quran, similar ayats, that this world is a place of test and trial. And the believers will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some will be tested in a more severe way than others. Some will be tested lightly. Some will be tested heavily. And some will be tested very severely. And being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a sign of being disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is a sign of being loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one whom Allah loves, Allah puts him through a bigger test. Therefore we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أشد الناس بلاءً الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The ones who were tested the most from all Allah's servants and creation were the Salam. Anbiya alayhi salam were the most beloved. They were the chosen ones. They were the special ones. They were the sinless ones. They had no sins. They had no sins. But Allahu Akbar, they were the ones who were tested the most. أشد الناس بلاءً الأنبياء. Anbiya alayhi salam were tested the most. ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. Then those who are closer to them, and those who are closer to them, and those who are closer to them, those who are closest to the Anbiya alayhi salam were tested even very severely, like how Allah tested the Anbiya alayhi salam. Those who are closest to them and resemble them in their ways will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly. Look at the Sahaba kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They were the Muslim. After the Anbiya alayhi salam, they were the best group. But how were they not tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through unlimited tests? And then those who are closest to them, take the great imams of this ummah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. These great personalities of this ummah, they were closest to the Anbiya alayhi salam. How were they not tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, the great compiler of the most authentic book after the Holy Quran, the Sahih al-Bukhari. After he compiled this book and thousands of students read it from him, when he returned to his hometown of Bukhara, then due to the, you know, plotting and scheming of enemies, they plotted and they schemed and they poisoned the mind of the rulers against this great imam. And he was exiled and driven out from his own hometown, that he could not even stay in his own hometown. And then wherever he settled down, they were harassing him. He had to leave town to town until eventually on an Eid night, he had to leave the house of his relatives where he was taking refuge. And he went into the streets, and he was in the middle of the street all alone and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, this earth has become narrow and constrained for me. Where must I go and where can I go? Rather, oh Allah, you take me away. And it is said that he passed away on the Eid night, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. And he was buried in a town away from Bukhara. He was buried in a place called Khartam, which is away from his town. So this is just an example, one example, out of millions of examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested those who are his beloved ones. Now we look at our master and leader and our guide, our imam, our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we look at how he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being on this earth was tested more than he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he was the mahbub and the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was tested the most from all Allah's creation. Even he mentioned that, "Uzitu fillahi ma la yuza ahadun." I was put through so much of suffering in the way of Allah that no one was made to suffer the way I went through suffering. وَأُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ مَا لَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٌ. I was made, put through so much of fear that none was put to that kind of fear which I was put through. He is the role model of this ummah, and we look at his example and his model, and we look at what he went through in his life, from his birth till his death, from the first moments till the last moment, what trials and tests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through, and he is the example for this ummah, that whoever is going through any difficulty, whoever is going through any hardship, whoever is going through any problem, don't look anywhere else. Just look at the life of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the life of our beloved master, and you will find in his life every type of test that he himself went through, and our test will become light in comparison to what he went through. Allahu Akbar. Look at the fact that he was born a yatim already. He was born an orphan in this world. Did not even have a father's shadow over him when he was born in this world. And then, one by one, all his beloved guardians and supporters left him. His mother passed away when he was just 6 years of age. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, who had taken the role of a guardian and father for him, passed away when he was only 8 years old. And he was all alone in that sense, that now there was no mother, no father, no grandfather. Of course, his uncle, Abu Talib, took charge of him and brought him up with the greatest amount of love and care. But look at the test that he went through from that very early days of his life when he was born. Because he was born in a family that was very poor, they were very noble. The greatest nobility on earth was the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is more no noble family than that family of Quraysh and the Banu Hashim and the Banu Abdul Muttalib. This is the most noble clan and family in the universe. But because at that time there was no financial support, so when the nurses came to take those children, you know, to take them into the desert and to grow them in the desert, then we find that nobody wanted to take Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they felt they will get nothing from his family, or the returns or the financial gains will be very less. Nobody wanted to even take him at that time. But it was Halima radiallahu anha who came at the end, because she had no option. So she decided that rather than going back empty handed, let me take this yatim. Whatever I get, I will get. And she said, let me just take this opportunity. And of course, we know what happened after that. The barakat that flowed in her life, her whole fortunes turned, and every goodness that she could have imagined came into her lap. And not only at that time, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in her lap and, you know, in her guardianship and custody, but for the rest of her life, to the extent that she eventually came to Madinah Munawwara and she accepted Iman, she brought Islam, and she was honored that out of respect for her, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his Mubarak chadar and shawl on the ground and made her sit on that shawl out of honor and respect, that this was his mother, his wet nurse, his mother, and buried in Jannatul Baqi, Allahu Akbar. Qabr is there till Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that was the difficulties, that nobody wanted to accept him. And then as he grew up, now he had to fend for himself as a young boy. Allahu Akbar. He did not just rely on his uncle to provide for him, but as a young boy, he undertook to earn his own, whatever little he could earn for himself, to support himself as best as he could. And therefore, he went out into the deserts with the animals of the Quraysh, and he became a shepherd. He became a shepherd, taking care of the animals of the Quraysh and taking this. And this is mentioned clearly in Bukhari Sharif and the other hadith kitabs, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now in the young age, he's working. Young boys of that age will be playing and going to school, and they will be with their parents on holidays, and here and there, here our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam is working as a little boy, going out as a shepherd, earning a little bit for himself and trying to lighten the burden on his uncle. At the age of 12 already, he proceeds to journeys of trade with his uncle Abu Talib, and they travel to Syria, famous incident of his journey to Syria. And already at that young age, when other boys are just fooling around and, you know, playing fools and just, you know, passing time in all frivolous things, here we find our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeing his uncle, helping him, accompanying him, giving him company, and going to learn about business and trade and so on. So this is a glimpse of the hardships and difficulties that he went through, and it carried on and on until the time came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred him upon him the nubuwat and the prophethood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then charged him with the mission of da'wat ila Allah and the mission of spreading the word of la ilaha illallah in an ocean of darkness, of kufr and shirk. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to light the lantern of iman, and in that darkness they did not want to accept this light, and they tried everything to extinguish the light of this lantern of nubuwat. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried on. What hardships and difficulties befell him at that time is beyond imagination, my dear friends. What and what was not done to him, to his own family, to his own ashab, to his own beloved companions. What trials, what tests they went through. Allahu Akbar. The first 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah were the most difficult times that the Muslims went through. They were beaten up regularly. They were assaulted violently. Sumayya radiallahu anha was made shaheed, the first woman to become shaheed, the first shaheed in the history of Islam. They were beaten up violently. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was beaten up and tortured so badly, and so many other people went through all of these tests and trials. Allahu Akbar. Our beloved master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself was beaten up on many occasions. Sometimes he became unconscious because of their attacks. There were thorns that were thrown in his path. There were stones that were thrown at him. In Taif, we know what happened, how the blood was oozing from his Mubarak body until it clogged his Mubarak shoes. And so many incidents of difficulty and hardship that he went through. The insults, the taunts, the mockery, the jeering, the criticism, the condemnation, the degrading. What didn't they do against him? But he was a mountain of sabr and patience, and he went through all of these difficulties with so much of patience, with so much of sabr. So therefore, the lesson for us to learn is that life is going to come with its challenges. Life is going to come with its difficulties. There are going to be problems on and off. Nobody is going to have a problem-free life in this world. The more a person is closer to Allah, the more difficulties we will go through in this life. But then, we have the best role model, and we have the best example. That is the example of our beloved master, Hazrat Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Makkah, that was Taif, that was those days, the early days, and the difficulties and hardships he went through. But then that was not the end. When he settled down in Medina Sharif, and they had left that zulm and oppression and tyranny of the Meccans, then started a new chapter of difficulties and hardship. Here in Medina now, the Jews became his enemies. And they were planning and plotting and scheming against him day and night. They invited him on one occasion to a meeting. And they held a meeting in a certain place. And they planned a very evil plan. From he was sitting against the wall. The top of the wall, they had a person to go up there with a huge boulder in his hand, and the idea was to throw the boulder on his Mubarak body and kill him in this way. But, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was his guardian and protector, and Jibreel alayhi salam came and informed him that get up and stand up immediately. And as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, the boulder landed on the ground. This is just one glimpse of the many, many, many schemes and plots that they hatched against him to harm him. That was the Jews on one side. The other side was the munafiqeen and the hypocrites that left no stone to harm, left no stone unturned to harm Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the, what you could call, you know, they were the snake in the house that was biting and harming. And the others were outside, and the enemies were inside and outside, trying to cause him all kinds of hardship and trouble and problems and difficulties. They were not content with all this. Then they started attacking his family. Allahu Akbar. They made tuhmat and they accused his beloved wife, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, of adultery and zina. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal two complete rukus of the Holy Quran in Surah An-Nur to clear the name of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then they even did sihr on him and they did jadu to harm him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved him from the effects of that through the revelation of the mu'awwazatain, قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and through the 11 ayats, the 11 knots that they blew on the hair, each one was opened with one ayat, and Allah ta'ala lifted the effects of that sihr from his Mubarak body. And then they poisoned Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar. The Jewish woman put the poison in his meat, and he had a little bite of it, and it was so deadly, that poison, that eventually when he left this world, it was due to the effects of that poison on his Mubarak liver, and this is how he left this world, through the effects of that poison. And in his lifetime, how many people passed away from his beloved family members? Allahu Akbar. All of his children, 3 sons, 3 daughters, his beloved wife, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, and his parents, and so many members of his family, his beloved uncle, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha, and so many of his illustrious beloved companions passed away in his lifetime. He saw the death of so many people. What did he not go through in this world? And then on top of that was the poverty that he lived. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that Ra'in al-Hilal, Thumma Ra'in al-Hilal, Thumma Ra'in al-Hilal. We saw 3 new moons, but there was no fire that was lit in the house. Why? Because there was no food to cook. They asked, how did you survive? And she said, Al-Aswadain, we survived on dates and water. That was the food. When he passed away, he passed away also in debt. They needed some funds, monies for basic needs. And his armor was placed as a pawn in the hand of one Jewish person. And this is how they had little money at the end of his Mubarak life. And, you know, the difficulties and hardships that he went through in his last illness, the pain, the fever, the headaches, Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a paragon of sabr and patience. But we find that he did not complain, but even in that condition, he expressed the hardships that he was going through, the pain of sakarat, of maut, etc., that the Sahaba say that we did not see anyone go through this kind of hardship and pain. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that when I used to see people passing away in a difficult death, I used to think maybe Allah is unhappy with them, until I saw the death of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His death was so painful then I realize that it has got nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being happy or unhappy. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe the last test a person will face in this world. So my dear friends, if we look at the example of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, it is the best example for us of how to understand the difficulties and hardships of this world and how to deal with these hardships and how to have that patience and sabr. And if we look at his example, whatever difficulty we are going through, whether it is pain, poverty, misery, heartbreak, any kind of problems, any kind of financial difficulties, social problems, all these things, illnesses, all these things will become light when we compare it to what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.